You are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see?
Welcome to A Bold Scientist Under the Shower. Here I am with Alice Vitola. Hi, Alice. Can you turn on your microphone?
Hello.
Hi, Alice.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Thanks to you. As every so normally it should be the second Monday of the month, but today is the third Monday. Because we wanted Alice to be here, and we're going to explain you in a little while why. So that's when we could arrange it. Today is a very special show because we're going to talk about something very interesting, something that lately attracts my attention, but I don't think only my attention, but it's a kind of a worldwide attraction of attention, because we're going to talk about smart working. First of all, I wanted to say that the song you heard right before was You Are So Beautiful from Joe Cocker, and with a great, amazing performance of Patti LaBelle and Billy Preston on the piano. I warmly suggest you to watch that video. Super funny, great, passionate. This is a bit everything. Great. And You Are So Beautiful is also somehow dedicated to the smart working, because we're going to explain you in a little bit why. So, Alice, you are in Greece, am I right? Right now.
Yes.
But
yes.
You're not Greek.
No. I originally come from Latvia, and I lived in Latvia for about 35 years, and then I moved to Greece. Now I'm a few years living in Greece, and I'm actually a smart worker or distant worker myself.
Okay.
Because my job is in Latvia, but I'm working from my home in Athens in Greece.
Okay, so I missed that actually. So your job is in Latvia?
Yes. I'm doing some projects in Greece too, but mainly I still work with my colleagues in Latvia.
Okay. So now everyone, I'm sure, is curious about, who you are. How did we kind of connected? But I'm going to explain it later. So can you please introduce yourself about your academic career? What are you doing now, which I think is different than academia, please?
So, in short, my background is in regional development. I worked with regional development issues for about 15 years. First, I started in public administration in Latvia. Then, at the same time, I was doing my PhD, so I was involved in also in some academic work, and I was doing lectures in the university with students also about regional development. And then when I finished my PhD, I moved for a year to Berlin when I was doing a research scholarship in the Freie Universität Berlin. That was a fantastic experience. And now I'm in Greece, and now I work mainly with NGO projects, and occasionally I'm doing some consultancy work too. But everything is more or less related to regional development.
Okay, so you're still in the regional development.
I have been in regional development from all possible sides, from public, academic, private, and non-governmental. So I know this area from many different perspectives now.
But I think this can help. Actually, this is an interesting point per se. I think this can help seeing any topic actually from different perspective. I think scientists in general should be a bit more back into reality in order to see a topic from a different perspective.
That's right, useful indeed, yeah. I know quite many people, I think, are working like this nowadays because more and more scientists are involved in consulting, for example. So, and I have to see their topic more from a business perspective, for example.
Yeah, for example, because we are actually asked more and more to, for instance, when applying for grant, we ask more and more to have so whether our research, our basic research, have some further and concrete development. So probably will be useful. Having said that, as I ask to all my guests, was to be a regional developer your childhood dream? So it'd be a funny childhood dream, right? From I do not imagine an 8 years old girl thinking, yeah, I would like to be a regional developer. But probably, I mean, it was your case. I don't know.
Not exactly. Indeed, I did not come across this idea when being a kid, but what I wanted to do when I was a child and later teenager, I wanted to become a writer, to write a book.
Okay.
So that was my childhood dream.
Okay. Which is more or less, I mean, I guess you wrote something. Actually, I also do know that you wrote something in your academic career. So
many articles, many reports. So I have written maybe not the most exciting books, but many texts, definitely.
Okay, so more or less, you achieve your dream.
Indeed.
The audience might wonder how we two got in contact. Actually, I did contact Alice because one day, just wandering, walking around here in Rome, because actually, I'm in Rome right now with my girlfriends. We were wondering how this smart one, and actually the funny thing is that my hometown is a small village, and so her parents' hometown is a very small village in the south. And we were wondering, and those villages are being abandoned recently. So I was wondering, how great could be whether if smart working could help repopulating those villages, because I cannot see why not. And therefore I got excited, and I went on the internet And the search, just as someone who didn't know anything about the search, whether someone approached this issue, and actually found a European report from Alisa and her colleagues. Then I contacted her, and her enthusiasm immediately kind of make me even more curious, even more excited. So, and she was amazing in how with her excitement in willing to discuss these things. So that's how we got in touch, and I still thank you for that, Alize. So what is smart working? What is that? So what is this thing that before we use kind of rarely, and now we're using more and more due to the coronavirus?
I think now in this COVID crisis, almost everyone now understands what smart work or telework or distant work is. If before that, and especially when I was working very intensively with this subject about 5 years ago, even before that in 2012, 2014, we had to explain that it means working outside your conventional office by using ICT. So basically using your computer, you work at home and connect with your office, or not necessarily at home, you can work also in another place, but that's not the main office of your employer.
So there is not the idea is not that you need to work at the main office of the employer, indeed. Just out of curiosity, how did you first encounter, how did you get involved in this field?
Yes, it was, I would say, by coincidence, because in about 2011, we were, I was in university helping my colleagues, and they said they want to expand the European cooperation. So we were looking at project opportunities, and then the Interreg Europe program had a call, and we got involved in a partnership, which at the end had 11 partners from 11 different European countries, all interested in developing smart work. Several partners already had some establishments, others didn't have, but we all had this interest in this matter. So we had the partners, the lead partner was from Denmark, but we had also organizations from Netherlands, Hungary, Slovenia, UK, Italy, Hungary, Latvia, France, Estonia, and Spain.
Oh, wow. So it was a full-blown European...
Yes, and mainly municipalities and regions were partners. We were a university as a partner.
So, can you kind of explain us what is the so why only now? Also, kind of it's very peculiar. Why with all this. The technology development and improvement, how is possible that this distant working, how you call it, has not been developed so much? So what is the issue here?
I think that although preconditions exist to use it much more than we use it now, I think the main reason is that our life is made of habits. Many of us have a habit to go to work, and if we don't have a external shock, so to say, as we say in economics, we don't think about that it could be different. And now with COVID, actually many people, I think, will start thinking about that. And I already hear from my colleagues that they say, yeah, I used to go every day to work. Now maybe some days I will stay at home when I have to write a long piece of text and I don't want my colleagues to disturb me. So now when people have tried it, they will see more advantages and opportunities. And I think that mainly it's a cultural reason.
Just a cultural thing. Because I read in one of your reports something quite interesting about the impact and the impact of commuting in the UK, for instance. It was something really crazy how the internal the within country commutation was larger than the international traveling.
Indeed, if we imagine any big metropolis or capital city, then let's say London, for example, people are commuting 1 hour, 2 hours every day to go to work.
Yeah,
and
indeed.
All the time can be saved. Let's say maybe not every day. Maybe some days you go to work, some days you work from home, but still you can save a lot of time, money for either a ticket or a petrol.
Yeah,
and environmental
and also,
gain.
Yeah, exactly. The environmental gain, I think it's also has big impact. So those are the immediate the thing that I can think about the bad side of commuting. But what is the advantages of smart working, being indeed able to working wherever you want?
As already mentioned, it's definitely the time economy.
Yeah.
We don't lose time in commuting. Then also, in most cases, if you work independently, then you will have more flexible arrangements. You can plan your day according to your needs or wishes. Of course, maybe you will schedule meetings and so on, but still you will have flexibility in other hours of the day. You will not have this strict 9-to-5 schedule.
Absolutely.
For example, will help with work-life balance. In many cases, maybe you have to bring kids to school, bring them back, so and you are ready to work more hours in the late evening.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember having watched an Italian show where a lot of crisis, couple crisis, come from this very tight planning in bringing kids to school, bring it somewhere else, like swimming or any kind of other activities, and combine this with your working issues. This was a very nice introduction, and I hope the audience will get even more excited for the next. But I mean, I will put another song before continuing, which is a Brazilian song. So I wanted to, I've chosen a song from different part of the world just to make this, just to make it smart. I mean, because we indeed with this, with the topic of today, we want to reunite all the world by this idea of smart working. So that was also the drive to the song, the choice of the song. So this is from Paulinho da Viola, is a Brazilian Brazilian singer, so I hope I pronounce it well. The song is called Onde Adorna o Temrasao, from 1981. Yes, thank you very much, Alice, to have muted your microphone. So see you in a little bit.
Canto pra dizer que no meu coração já não mais se agitam mais ondas de uma paixão. Ele não é mais abrigo de amores perdidos, é um lago mais tranquilo, onde a dor não tem razão. Nele a semente de um novo amor nasceu, livre de todo rancor, em flor se abriu. Venho reabrir as janelas da vida e cantar como jamais cantei esta felicidade. ainda. Quem esperou como eu por um novo carinho e viveu tão sozinho tem que agradecer. Quando consegue do peito tirar um espinho, é que a velha esperança já não pode morrer.
Canto pra dizer que no meu coração já não mais se agitam as ondas de uma paixão. Ele não é mais abrigo de amores perdidos, é um lago mais tranquilo onde a dor não tem razão. Ele é a semente de um novo amor nasceu, livre de todo rancor em flor se abriu. Vem reabrir as janelas da vida e cantar como já bastante esta felicidade.
Esperou como eu por um novo carinho e viveu tão sozinho tem que agradecer. Quando consegue do peito tirar um espinho, é que a velha esperança já não pode morrer.
Tanto pra dizer que no meu corpo agitam as ondas de uma paixão. Ele não é mais abrigo de amores perdidos, é um lago mais tranquilo onde a dor não tem razão. Nele a semente de um novo amor nasceu, livre de todo rancor em flor se abriu. Esta felicidade ainda.
Okay, that's we back at the Ebold Scientists Under the Shower. So with Alice Vitola, expert in regional development, we are here to talk about smart working, something that is already hype in this period of coronavirus, and we just mentioned quite generally and briefly. What are the advantages of smart working or distant working? And among the people that kind of are not used to use this kind of approach, they always wonder whether this type of work can be applied to any kind of profession, or it can be limited to a certain category. Whether this thing can be improved in the future thanks to technology?
Well, definitely it's not possible to use it in every profession. Because for example, if you're a massage therapist, you cannot do your work distantly, at least not now, perhaps later when we have some robots, yes. But what we see, for example, with doctors, what I saw now with the COVID crisis, that I start offering online consultations. Although generally it would not be perhaps such a good idea because a doctor has to see you in front of him or her, but still many things could be solved also distantly. But also works like cleaning, for example, yeah, you cannot clean distantly,
yeah.
But all the rest except on these really physical jobs where a person has to be there. Without it, it's not possible. In all the rest of jobs, it is possible to more or less all intellectual, what this called knowledge economy jobs, definitely, all of them, IT jobs. Even difficult to, to make a single definition in most cases when a person works with a computer or phone, it's possible, definitely.
No, it's definitely true, and it's nice the thing you said about doctors. Indeed, with the telemedicine, you are nowadays able to operate from distant countries with the help of robots, which are, might be even more precise than
even that. Therefore.
Yeah, but so you're, I remember that. So, and the nice thing that you mentioned in, I don't remember whether in one of the reports or in our private conversation, not only people that want, and you call it in a very nice way, not only people that like to stay home.
Digital nomads.
Digital nomads. Yeah, indeed. Who are they?
That's a new phenomenon that I have came across in the last years. I suppose they were there before. I just didn't come across this term. So those are people who like to travel, to work and travel at the same time, because the work doesn't require them to be at the same location. For example, recently I was following a series of articles about a Latvian couple, two young people. They have their own IT company and they provide services to online shops. So they decided that they would like to spend a few months in Asia. So they went to different countries and they, let's say, they worked for 3 days a week, and 4 days a week they did excursions and experienced and saw the place they were in. And 1 month they lived in one place, then 2 weeks in another, then 2 weeks in another place. So even that, yeah, this distant work allows you to work and travel and see the world if you're up to that.
That's amazing. That's why I put that song at the beginning. You, smart working, was working, are so beautiful. Because indeed,
now with the coronavirus, it has become a bit difficult. But when we are back to normal, then this definitely is an opportunity.
No. Of course. I mean, nowadays, you had to do it. You cannot probably do this digital. You cannot be a digital nomad, indeed. But this example you brought us just let us understand the possibilities that we have with distant working.
And some people have become these digital nomads against their will now because of coronavirus. I've also heard stories that, let's say, people were traveling somewhere far away from home and they didn't manage to return. So now they're working distantly from wherever they were.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, I also heard a lot of stories. Yeah, that's true. So they've been obliged to work from a place differently. So they are digital nomads by chance, which is also fun, hopefully.
New experience, definitely.
Let's call it like that. But do you live in Greece? You're not there by chance, right?
No. I moved here. Yeah, okay. My family is now in Greece, okay. So I'm here permanently.
Okay, right, good. And I know this is a bit in a personal question, but I think there are limitations, though, because, for instance, I know that you have a very small baby, so is that possible to work? Because I also know my sister, who has two little children, who said that, yeah, smart working is good, but probably there are limitations. I mean, it has to be a company with the children not being there.
Yes, definitely. It's not, you cannot let's say, play with the kid with one hand and write with the other hand.
unless you have seven arms.
It's not that easy. No, for example, now I'm working when my kid is playing or sleeping or in the evening when she's sleeping, but I'm still awake.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In those hours, when I have to return to a full-time job, probably I will have a babysitter for a few hours. However, it will be a bit easier for me because I will not need a person to stay with the kid from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
So this is another opportunity and advantage that I'll be more flexible with my working hours.
So, but the thing that really interested me in your report was a little word that was next to the smart working. So there was smart working in rural areas, which I think it's the nicest side of your report, because I mean, would, as I mentioned at the beginning in the introduction, would help those abandoned villages or rural areas to flourish again. Because I mean, I read in your report that the smart working, if implemented, is mostly implemented in urban and suburban place. Is
yes.
that true?
Yes, now it's still like that mostly it's people in the cities who work like that. Why is it so? Because this knowledge economy, as we call it, it's concentrated in the cities mostly. But what I've, because of my work in regional development, I've did many workshops in rural areas and met with the youngsters and did projects with them. And many people, youngsters and adults, say we actually want to live in a rural area. Just the problem is we cannot find a good job.
If
smart work becomes more widespread, then it will be an opportunity for all those people. And we see also that many people actually bring their jobs from cities to smaller towns, rural towns. I've seen it in Latvia too. It's not a mass movement at the moment, definitely. But there are people who are moving away from the capital city to other smaller cities.
And this is indeed, and which can overcome probably the problem of having your children while you're working. There are possibilities, there are options that allows you to overcome some of the disadvantage of smart working, like this, like for example, the working in isolation or not having physical interaction or even professional interaction with other people, which is a bit I think the main point and the main focus of your report. What are those, Alize?
So you mean about the smart work centers?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Which for me was a. I mean, a very new thing, although I've been working in one of them, but I mean, I didn't think that this could indeed overcome a lot of disadvantage.
So now the quite popular are so-called co-working spaces in cities, mostly in cities. So the idea of the smart work center, it's basically, it's a co-working space in a rural area. That's what we meant in this micropole project that we mentioned before, that also smaller towns should establish such places for people who work remotely so that they can come together, so they have more stimulating professional environment, so they can do networking, so they can have these nice chats by the coffee with their colleagues, not with their colleagues from their company.
Yeah, yeah.
Peers, let's say, other people working similar jobs,
which can make, I mean, which can be advantages, because you might interplay and share different type of knowledges and probably create a third type of new ideas and third
business ideas might come up from that. Exactly, yeah. And what we see in many cases from the examples that we analyze, that when such people come together, they have not only, they don't talk only about business, but sometimes they start some social initiatives, good new projects for their towns, because these are active people with good contacts. So they can bring economic and social benefits for the whole territory when you bring them together and allow them to network and interact with each other.
Yeah, indeed. So this is really in general, right? This is in the ideal world. But have you encountered examples that worked out?
Yes, in our project, actually, we had quite a few. I really like the examples from UK. We had partner from Northumberland County Council, and then in the north of UK they have special programs for, they call these work hubs, such establishments, and we saw and we were introduced to several good examples when there was now it's easier but then even 5-7 years back also fast internet was sometimes not available in rural areas. So this was one thing that they did, that they brought a very fast internet to their towns and offered. And what is also important and what they did and what I think all such centers should do is do mentoring and support for new businesses, because it's always a bit more difficult to start a new business in rural area. So it's very good if you have also consulting, mentoring, things like that. And of course, networking as they organized, a branch for businesses activities like that could be very beneficial.
So, with your experience, have you seen some more satisfaction, or there are data out that can quantify the goodness of smart working center or smart working in general?
In general, there are many data about that, but I will now touch more specifically about these smart work centers, because during this study, there was a small case study research done. And for example, one very interesting result was that each person who works in such smart work center brings two additional persons to that settlement if she or he moves from the city. So his or her family. That's, of course, is a bit a tricky issue. Also, if we look at disadvantages, because let's say one person in a family can work distantly, the other cannot. So then the question, what will the other person do? Will he or she find a job in rural area or no?
Yeah, that's true.
Also, what we found that on average, these people who work in smart work centers, in each center, they brought almost 1 million euro to the local GDP.
Oh, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it was one center had on average 10 people working, so mainly that's just the salary that the person brings to the local economy.
Yeah, of course. And as I was saying before, I mean, just for seeing a lot of places in the south being once again abandoned, this can really can create a second life for those villages. And still,
and new businesses are created too.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and also would relieve a bit the big cities from all the pollution and from all the concentration of people. So, experiencing here in Rome, you cannot go to restaurants, you cannot go because every place is full of people. So this would also release a bit of, say, call it tension from these big cities.
Yes. And in the small towns, they would need a nice coffee shop, probably.
Yeah, exactly. No, indeed.
Entertainment opportunities.
Exactly. Arts and a little, artisanal work will come back again.
Not only the shops and rents, or if they buy a real estate, not only that investment, but also, on a wider scale.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things that people use to buy and spend money.
So are smart worker more, or I mean, people in this smart working center more satisfied of their life, or their so is there more job, for instance, is more engagement in their job?
We did not research this particular aspect that you're regarding the smart work centers, but we have data that if we talk about smart work, distant work generally, then people are more satisfied. They are more productive, and for example, their sick leave days are decreasing. This is a very direct indicator showing that people are more satisfied, because usually these sick day leaves are high in places where people are not satisfied with their job, and so they become ill or they just stay longer at home, because they don't want to return.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so we're gonna, so the time really fly or flew. We're gonna introduce you to another song. Actually, this is a very young Dutch artist. As I told you before, I want to pick from an artist from any country in the Europe or the world, given the topic. So she's called Lotte Valda, and her song is called "The Twisted Paradise," which make me think about this smart working, which is a bit can be a twisted paradise. Let's see in the future. If you can please mute the. Thank you very much, and see you in a few minutes.
Paradise.
Okay, welcome back to A Bold Scientist on the Shower with Alice Vitola. I pronounce it correctly, Vitola, Vitola.
No, very good, very good.
Vitola, good.
It's actually in Latin we say Vitola, but
Vitola.
International Vito is okay.
Okay,
no problem.
Okay, so we already at the end, who would have said that, really time flew. We have other more or less 6 minutes. Yeah, so thank you once again for all this very nice overview on what smart working is and what still can be done. So actually, unfortunately, I don't think we still have a lot of data to judge how good is smart working in terms of satisfaction, flexibility, pollution. So I don't think we can have some concrete data about that. But probably we might have it in the near future, and we can make a fair comparison indeed with.
There's indeed not much research, because when we had this project, we were trying to find as many articles as possible. But we have some data which could help to calculate if we wanted, let's say, environmental advantages from smart work. Because I found the recent data from 2017, which show that in European Union, on average, usually work from home are working 5% of people employed, of employees. Always working, mostly working from home are about 10%. This is, of course, before COVID data. Yeah. Let's see, maybe it will change after that. But yeah. In any case, these numbers are increasing steadily. So each year there's a small increase.
We should remind actually the audience that you did this report and European report and this type of research 5 years ago. So it's a long time ago. So you were kind of
2012 until 2014.
2012 even. Yeah.
We were actively involved in this research, and after that we wrote several articles. But yeah, back then, and it was a cool, little bit exotic topic still.
Yeah, right?
It's now crazy. it has changed quite a lot.
Yeah, indeed.
As we see.
So did you, because I read in the report that you make several advice, so you propose several things that the Europe should have done. Have you have some, do you remember whether they communicated you, whether they were they were doing some of those steps, or whether you think that they work in that line, or they just kind of not really put the right effort in your report?
I would say it depends. Many things are happening, like broadband in rural areas, for example. Many times with the support of European funds, we are developing internet. Different initiatives for a smart work. For example, in Latvia, we had each year this teleworking day, which was organized by Microsoft.
Okay. Because I know that Microsoft has some base in Latvia, right?
Yes, well, they're in every country, but they are quite a lot promoting smart work and telework, and also in their offices. They have very modern offices where people don't have their own tables, their own working places. They can and they can also work from home. They're very flexible in this case. And they have done quite a lot of research too about advantages of smart working. What else?
I think that our time is up. So unfortunately, we need to, I'm very sorry, because topic is super interesting. And once again, I think you will it will somehow be the center of attention for the European, but also I'm sure in US there will be a revolution, and hopefully this will also help revolutionize and the business, the business of these little centers, these little villages that unfortunately have been, as we already said, abandoned in the recent years. Thank you very much, Alize. You were super helpful in helping indeed a better understanding on smart working and let's see what will happen after this coronavirus, and hopefully this coronavirus will leave us very soon, because we love smart working, but I mean we also like life outside that.
If I may add very shortly that this conversation has given me the idea that another project like this should be written and implemented about smart work now after more than 5 years and after coronavirus.
Absolutely, but mostly because, and we discussed it about that in one of our one of our meetings. So there are not a lot of people working on that. So I had a lot of difficulty in finding any article on this topic. So you were one of the few. There are a couple of others in the US, which is even more, I don't know whether to say strange or amazing. Amazing in the sense how much we can still do to improve, to revolutionize this world in this regard. But yeah, it's definitely something to be more developed and more investigated.
Lots of work to do, definitely.
So if, I mean, we can definitely keep in touch. We might create a company, let's see, and become a very rich and millionaire thanks to this new ideas.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak about this very exciting topic.
Absolutely. So I really hope I can we can talk again, so probably in the future, and see what changed. So let's make a part two of this show.
Exactly, in a few years.
Yes. Thank you very much, Alize. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot also to Radio Onda Italiana, who hosts this show every second Monday of the month. And thanks to Radio Salto as well. And see you in June. The second Monday of June probably is the 9th of June. So thanks again, Alize. And say hi to your baby and to your husband.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. So now I leave you with the Cugini di Campagna, Anima Mia. It's an Italian song that is quite related to the topic, because Campagna in English is countryside, so rural areas. And this was a bit the topic of tonight, smart working, rural areas. So I leave you with the Anima Mia from Cugini di Campagna.
Andava a piedi nudi per la strada, mi vide come un'ombra, mi seguì, col viso in alto di chi il mondo sfida e tiene ai piedi un uomo, conosci. Nel cuore aveva un volo di gabbiani, ma un corpo di chi ha detto troppi sì. Negli occhi la paura del domani, come un ragazzo me ne innamorai. Su di me e poi mi dava i calci. amor é